Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Yes, everybody, welcome to Lost in the Static. I am Scott Murray, one of the wonderful hosts of this show, if I don't say so myself. Now, due to some unforeseen circumstances and some difficulties that we're dealing with, Josh could not be with me tonight. Hopefully he will be with me next week. I may have a string of some fill-in hosts. Let's just be perfectly honest with you guys. Josh is having some difficulties right now. And so, we're kind of winging it by ear. And thank goodness that I have such wonderful friends in our community and over at Geek Juice Media. But before we get to tonight's guest, I would like to send you guys, maybe there's something that you haven't tried before that you want to give, it a go. And so why not head on over to adamandeve.com, pick yourself up that light bondage gear that you've been thinking about, maybe that little anal exploration, kit that has definitely piqued your interest, and give it a shot. Try something new. Try something you haven't tried in a while. And, maybe you'll like it this time. And that's what we're going to be discussing tonight, is re-examining things. And joining me to discuss that tonight is Dustin Kidd from GeekJuiceMedia.com. Dustin, thank you. I know you're filling in on a very, very short notice, and I do appreciate you being here.
No, thank you. I love the show, and like you and Josh, like I've known Josh for a while and everything, and you know, I love the show and stuff, and you know, 1201 Beyond, and I'm happy to be on the show. You know, it's great. So obviously I hopped on the chance to be on the show. I love the program, and it's great to be here.
Well, I'm glad you could. Now, what was something, I mean, even if it's something very, very simple, what was something as a kid that you maybe you didn't like that you've discovered that you really liked? And how do you discover something like that?
Girls. And I think it's some like hormones or puberty or something, but no.
I still think they have cooties, but it's just me.
They changed the name. Now they go by like STDs and infections and that kind of stuff.
It's all cooties.
It's all cooties. It's all the same. No. As I was saying before, like I mentioned before the show, like coffee. Like before I wasn't into coffee, and just these past recent weeks and everything, because I work shift work, you know, I don't get paid to work on Geek Juice Media. That would only be too great of a deal, like too great of an opportunity. But I work shift work and that kind of stuff. And I work like really long hours and rotating shifts and stuff. And, you know, one morning I didn't want to risk falling asleep at work. So I started pour myself coffee and loading it up with lots of milk and sugar, and now I'm addicted, and I love coffee now. And you know,
I was lucky enough to have a Scottish grandmother who I don't know if it's a tradition in the family or something, but she introduced my dad to coffee when he was like I think she used to rotate bottles between milk and coffee, and for me, she introduced me when I was very, very young. And yeah, I like you, when I first had coffee, I would load it up with cream and sugar, or you'd go to Starbucks and you'd be like, half calf super foam latte death Trenta cup, and they'd maybe put in a shot glass full of coffee and then load the rest up with sugary goodness. Any more though, and I think this is more of a budgetary constraint, I have learned to love black coffee.
Oh yeah, my one friend who's been like, I've known him for like 7 years now, and you know, he's a really close friend and stuff. And him and I have been hanging out a lot more. And he, like, every time I go over to his place, he's if it's like overnight or something, or it's in the morning that I'm there, he's just like, "You want some coffee? I got this great gourmet coffee, organic coffee. Come on, coffee." And you know, the other week I told him like, well, I'm drinking coffee now. And he's like, oh, that's great. You got to learn how to drink it black, though. So you got to watch the weight. And then it's like, you know, also, yeah. You know, so I'm going to work my way towards drinking black coffee. But the first time I actually had coffee, I remember this because in my elementary school, my dad worked as the custodian, and he still is. And he's really happy with that job. But so I would go to the school and everything, and early in the morning I would go to the school with him early in the morning before school would actually start, before the teachers were there, just so, like, you know, I would have a way to get to school. And so me and my brother would do that, and then one day we went there, and we'd hang out in the library and play on the computers, you know. And they apparently had a meeting the other night, and so there was leftover coffee. And me being a curious child, or kid, if you want to put it, I'm like, let's try this. Pour it in a cup and just, like, start drinking it and spit it up all over. And, you know, my dad wasn't happy about that. He had to clean it. But that was my first experience with coffee.
Well,
so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's all kinds of things, not just coffee, of course, but
no, yeah, let's not make this all about coffee.
That's right. All kinds of things that we've discovered. For instance, I never liked guacamole until I started working at this restaurant where I have to make the stuff, and it's hand squished guacamole every day. And
so you go home and it smells on your hands and stuff, and you're like, but then you start to like it.
Well, you know what's weird is we make all our guacamole by hand, so it's all it's gigantic, like a big potato press, basically. we cut up the avocados and then throw in the ingredients and squish it all up. And one of the things that you have to do when you're cooking is you have to taste what you're making. If you guys ever go to a restaurant and they're not tasting what they're making, you're at a bad restaurant.
Yeah, I have quite a few friends who are cooks and everything, and who have worked in kitchens and stuff. And yeah, they're they're always tasting the food and everything. And,
exactly. You know. So I have to taste every batch of guacamole I make. And while there are still places that make bad guacamole, I really like our stuff. And so that's been a new one. Onions were a turnaround. I remember when I was younger, I never liked onion rings. Now
I was the same way. Not so much onion rings, but onions, yeah. And my mom would mix it into food like that, mushrooms, peppers, and that kind of stuff. And I've gotten better with it. And I've actually realized now that I've gotten older that onions do have their purpose in food, and they add flavor and stuff, and they can be delicious and not gross as I once thought they were.
Exactly. And that may be changing taste buds, because again, if I go back today and I taste candy, depending on, you know, like bubble gum I was talking about, and I couldn't stand, I used to love bubble gum, and I decided to try a piece not too long ago, and I was like, bleh, this is gross. and there have been a lot of candies that I've gone back and I've tried that I don't care for. So maybe that's a biological change in taste buds or something. But what about things outside of food, like media that you've found? Is there anything that you didn't really like and you went back and checked out and found out that you liked it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, a lot of things, like with movies and stuff, especially as I grow older and got my own, like, sort of sense of, like, what I like and what I don't like and taste, and that, like, evolved more and more and that kind of stuff. My music has completely changed. You know, one band that when I first heard, I would be like, this is kind of all right, I guess. And then, like, you know, I'd get that one song stuck in my head, and it's like playing over and over, and then I'm listening more and more and more, and then it expands from there. Or the complete opposite, where I just grow out of something. And that's definitely happened, because, you know, high school's that, and high school was just a couple years ago for me. So this is just like, It is different, like, for you or for Josh or probably a lot of our listeners and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm only 21, so I'm not too fresh out of I'm pretty fresh out of high school. So
it'll take me a few minutes to rummage back and remember 21. So
yeah, I'm still trying to forget like high school. So
well, you're 21 now. Alcohol helps. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, that's another thing is learning how to drink certain types of alcohol and how I like them. That's definitely one thing.
See, that's one that I've heard a lot of is wine. It is a taste that you grow into. Mm-hmm. Hard alcohol, hard liquor being stuff that you grow into. I never had the luxury of growing into it. Again, we'll go back to my Scottish grandmother. God bless her. That was... If you know, sore throat, whiskey, cough,
yep,
whiskey, cancer, whiskey. And it's just that was her cure all was, you know, toothache. You put a little whiskey on the tooth and can't sleep. Yeah, you have a little whiskey and there you go. And she was not an alcoholic by any stretch of the imagination, but she swore by the medicinal use of whiskey. And so, yeah, I've kind of grown up with an appreciation for different types of whiskey and when I was at school in England, checking out stuff there, I learned to kind of like, I was spoiled by English beer.
Yeah.
and English, nobody makes a gin and tonic like the English, absolutely nobody. And, English tea was another one. Tea was my coffee. Because
yeah, when growing up and that kind of stuff, like I had cappuccinos and tea and stuff, and I was fine with that. But, you know, just getting into coffee now, it's I don't know. I guess it was just like the really bitterness of coffee that just I couldn't get over until recently and stuff.
And we're back on food already. Can you tell we haven't? it's dinner time as we record this, so
yeah,
that may be part of it. But getting back to media. Looking back on, you know, growing up, I remember hearing about Apocalypse Now or Glengarry Glen Ross or some of the great dramas and stuff that are out there. And I remember thinking, who would like this stuff? It's just people talking and blah. And when it came to Apocalypse Now or 2001, A Space Odyssey, it was kind of, I don't get it. And... So I think as you get older and you look back on this stuff, and I look at it now and I'm just like, that's brilliant filmmaking. And at the same time, we also grow out of things. I mean, I guess that's why there are different markets. You have things like Boobah and Teletubbies and stuff like that stoners and infants get into. But I frankly would rather eat my own socks than live with another episode of Teletubbies.
But who knows, maybe like after eating your socks for so long, you might just grow sick of the taste and switch to some sort of other clothing, you know,
or you know, I've learned to enjoy Asics. It's Dr. Scholl's. No, that's not really my style. So it might. But what you mentioned that your musical taste has changed. What do you think defines, because. You know, when I say kids music, when you're as old as I am and you say kids music, I'm probably talking about the popular music that you listen to. But
well, the thing is, I don't listen to like popular music that's on the charts now. Like, you know, people look at, and I'm not trying to come across as like my music's different and edgy and stuff. It's like, no, my music's the music that I like, and I enjoy something outside of the box from what, you know, what's being given to me and what's handed to me and told, like, here's the top 100 on the billboards and stuff. And, like, you know, the top 10 on the radio and that kind of stuff, on the pop music, like rock albums and that kind of stuff. I'll switch to classical, you know, okay. I'll switch it to the jazz channel.
That'll work. So, well, I mean, did you grow up liking jazz or classical?
Well, the thing is, like, growing up with my parents and everything, like, I was I grew up in a very 80s household. My parents, that was their 20s, the 80s. And so they carried that on through their 30s, raising me and that kind of stuff. And so, like, I was exposed to lots of stuff like David Bowie. Well, he's sort of like 70s, but you know, like a lot of the hair metal and that kind of stuff, like Aerosmith stuff, Van Halen, a lot of that stuff. And you know, now I've sort of grown back into that and respect it and everything. And I did have that time where I'm just like, oh, that's my dad's music and that kind of stuff, you know? And, but yeah, so like I grew up with that kind of music. And then I had that, pre-high school where I was listening to like the top 10 hits and that kind of stuff and what was popular and what was, you know, put out there by the mainstream media and like saying like, hey, check out this awesome tune. And, you know, what's there one month is gone the next and what's popular is popular. And but high school was a real big thing for that. And high school really changed a lot of that. And that's where I sort of had my my discovering like all this different kinds of music and these crazy bands and that kind of stuff. And let's just say I got really into heavy metal to the point where I was searching for like the most heaviest, just brutal, down-tuned, crazy stuff that, you know, your grandma would cry about if she even heard one note of.
So you're a Slipknot fan.
Actually, that's where I really started with heavy metal. And then I grew more towards like the Norwegian black metal and that kind of stuff. And then hit around like late grade 11, grade 12 and that kind of stuff. I was like, that's all good and fun, but I want stuff that really actually interests me and intrigues me. And, you know, that's where I really... And from there on, I established like the bands that I really do like. And I wasn't saying like, oh, they're not heavy enough for my taste because I listen to the heaviest stuff. And I did have that mentality because, you know, around that time being in high school, there was a band scene going on in like the town I grew up in. And so there was a bunch of like heavy metal bands and death metal bands and that kind of stuff. And I was right there with them, you know. So that was sort of the thing between that group that I was in is just like, oh, did you hear this band? They're so heavy and like so technical and crazy. And now I listen to it and it's like, yeah, it's technical and crazy and really heavy, but it's kind of all the same.
So what,
when I, yeah.
So what have you switched to recently? What's tripping your trigger these days?
Well, I listen to a lot of like, what have I been listening to a lot of recently? I listen to a lot of Melvins, you know, that it's going back to like 80s and that kind of stuff. And those guys are still touring. They're one of my favorite bands. Skinny Puppy. That's like industrial stuff. Ministry, again, industrial stuff. Mm-hmm. And then on the opposite end, you know, I'll listen to like acoustic stuff and everything, like really light stuff. You know, Death Can Dance, or Dead Can Dance. Sorry. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Dead Can Dance, Bjork. I had one on the tip of my tongue that I was just about to say, but,
you have great musical taste. I have heard of all of those and I'm quite proud of that actually. So,
well, that's the thing is like, you know, I listen to all sorts of kinds of music and everything. And, you know, on some level I'm able to really, because I'm really picky with music in a sense, but cause I want a variety. So I really want something that is interesting, and just sticking to one genre and one kind of music, that's not interesting. That gets boring. I went through that phase. That was my high school phase that I just talked about, you know, and, you know, I'm glad like I had some friends that I met who showed me all these different kinds of bands and stuff, you know, and they really opened up my mind. And then from there, I sort of seeked out even more bands. And, you know, I'm listening to industrial stuff and like heavy metal stuff and, you know, experimental, like techno stuff, so, and just here and there and everywhere, and like soundtracks and yeah.
Well, that's good. That's one thing that I think as you get older, your musical taste definitely expands to include a whole lot more than just one particular genre. But it always made me wonder, because when I, for instance, when I say children's music, and you think of things specifically written for kids, and I mean young kids, we start out with these major chords, and I like to call them the primary colors of music. It's pretty much a set 4/4 meter. It's got very major chords to it. It's got this happy, bouncy kind of feel. And it seems that as we get older, as we grow more complex, our music grows more complex and our musical taste grows more complex. And I think that's true even through adulthood, or at least absolutely. I hope so. Like I've found myself, you know, thinking the way I was in middle school and high school, I appreciated classical music then, but mm-hmm. I appreciate it even more now. And so do you think is that the case with everything? Is it that as we expand, you know, like I said, our musical tastes, our movie tastes, our food tastes, you know, our palate expands and stuff like that? Or is it a case of, yeah, there really is a biological difference here?
I definitely think it is like a thing of just like, you know, if we just stay the same and that kind of stuff and keep like just with the same stuff over and over again, you know, it gets boring and we can't do that. Like, people just want more. That's the thing with me and that kind of stuff when it comes to movies, when it comes to music and that kind of stuff. If like I find a new band or find a new director or like a search for out for more movies and that kind of stuff and I like it, I want more, you know. I'm really into horror films and that kind of stuff. And right now, like, I'm really searching, like, I love Troma and I'm searching through the Troma filmography and just like finding these titles, and it's like, oh hey, that's really interesting, that's really fun, you know. And searching out for those titles and that kind of stuff, it's just a searching for something more that really intrigues us and like, you know, tickles our fancy and stuff. And because exactly like I said, you just, if you stick with the same things, it's gonna get boring. And for me personally, you know, I'll go back to the things that I do like, but finding something new is just so exciting. Getting really, really into like a new band or something, or it's just really fun, especially with like the friends that I have, where it's always seems like whenever we hang out every so often, because they live in different cities here, you know, they'll come visit or something, or I'll come visit and that kind of stuff. And it's always so fun them being like, hey, you got to check out this or this, you know. And like I a couple months ago, I showed my really good friend that I've mentioned a couple times now, not by name, but the one who's like, you got to try my organic coffee, that guy. And the guy who also introduced me to music and drinking and that kind of stuff. I showed him Toxic Avenger. I sat him down and said, okay, you know Troma. You got to start somewhere. Here's Toxic Avenger. He watched that and he was blown away. And he's like, okay, so what else do you have from them? And then I just started showing him more and more. And then couple months ago, we went to the screening of the latest Troma film, and he was like, that was great, we got to go to the next one that they have and stuff. And so, you know, it really shows, like, getting introduced to something and really enjoying it is just a great feeling, you know. It makes you feel good when you really enjoy something and get into it.
And speaking of which, go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code STATIC. And when you do, you get 50% off one item, free shipping in the United States, 3 free DVDs, and a free mystery gift.
So, get into some butt play. Yeah,
that's
you know?
Right. Get into some butt play. Check out their bondage stuff. Try something new.
Yeah, so, come on. Come on, guys. Hit that prostate. Come on. You never know.
You never know. It's worth a shot. I know.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
It, no. Speaking of things I don't like anymore. No. So the other thing is, how do you discover these things? Like with me, I'm either working or I'm online. And I absolutely love the internet for that reason.
Yes.
These days is that absolutely. They've made it so easy. And for instance, there was a band, and I apologize, I don't have their name in front of me, and if I went to go search for it, my computer would make all kinds of weird noises.
I'm
not going to. But we had a band write a song about 1201, and they also had
yes.
A...
I just listened to that episode where Josh played the band. It was Hail Hipster.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Hail Hipster. And
or Hail Hipster.
Hail Hipster. And to have...
Great name.
To have a medium where a band can discover us, write a song, and then we discover the song, or really the album, because mm-hmm. they wrote a song about Brad Jones and some other stuff too, and
awesome.
Released the album. And to have that happen is absolutely incredible. But how have you used the internet, and where do you go to find this stuff?
Well, within the age that like I grew up in, that kind of stuff, I definitely use the internet a lot to find a lot of things. And a lot is just like going to different sites and like seeing like, oh, hey, this band is inspired by this band. Like seeing the inspirations from bands that you like or directors that you like, and saying like, I got inspired by this person or this film or this band and that kind of stuff. Seeking out that inspiration, the inspirations to what you like, is a great place to find that kind of stuff, because, you know, and also through stuff like that's connected and everything, you know, say, a band you really like shares an EP with, another band, you know, it's a great way to find out about other bands out there, or like, they tour with that band and you go to their show and they're touring together and one band opens for the other and like, hey, I really like that band. You know, that's definitely happened a lot of times for me. And, you know, even with like video games and that kind of stuff, like I'm really into video games and everything. And, you know, a band that I've really been getting into, Health, they're like a noise rock band, like crazy experimental stuff. You know, they did the soundtrack for Max Payne 3. I love the Max Payne series, and, you know, them doing that soundtrack and me loving soundtracks and everything and video games, I'm like, hey, I really like this. What else have these guys done? And then, you know, I pick up their albums and it's like, oh, hey, they did this crossover with this band and stuff. And, you know, it's a really great way to like, through what you like is a great way to discover more things that you may like. Like, I'm a big David Lynch fan. When he started doing albums, I love the two albums that he's released. They're amazing. And he's definitely like one of my favorite artists now. And my favorite filmmakers, like I love his films, but now I can say, you know, I love his music also. So, you know, that's a great place to start, you know, and going back to the internet, even just like, you know, articles, lists and that kind of stuff. And stuff like in high school, what was really great when it was free was stuff like Last.fm. I would use that. I would, you know, be at school doing schoolwork in the computer lab and everything. And like, let's throw Last.fm on and throw this band's radio on. And with that, it played, it didn't play the band like right away. It'd play like one song by them. And then it'd go into like similar artists and like play similar songs and similar bands and that kind of stuff. And that was a really great way. And yeah, friends are a really great way. Like people that you know have similar interests to you. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know? I love using things. Now, I don't use Pandora radio, but that's...
Yeah, a lot of people do. I don't use that. Yeah. Some people, I think it's called Songza.
Yeah, Songza is excellent. Songza is really interesting because I think that's the one where you go and you type in like what kind of mood you're in.
Yeah.
and it will introduce you to some music. But it... Again... Just trying to get us back on topic. It has always amazed because it never happened. Me and Josh never go off on tangents. What are you talking about?
Yes.
But again, thinking about kids' music and thinking, even thinking about pop music, which is popular with high school kids and anywhere mm-hmm. from tweens on up.
Well, that's always changing.
It's always changing, but it's always in a 4/4 measure. A good chunk of it is in a major chord, and you know I don't care whether it's you know five guys singing it or five girls singing it or one girl duplicating her voice 5,000 times. It always seems to have the same feel to it. In fact, Journey's "Don't Stop Believin'."
Yeah, the chords on that. That's
exactly
the four chords that you will find in so many songs because just, you know, it sounds good. They work good together. And people like things that sound familiar and sound similar. It's welcoming. It's comforting. And that's kind of what I sort of went away from with my music taste because I'm like, ooh, that's different. That's weird. That's interesting.
and like I said, I think that's really part of growing up because, mm-hmm. again, I grew up, my dad listened to NPR and classical music all the time.
Yeah.
I hated it as a kid. It was boring and meh. But now, for instance, not too long ago, I fired up Disney's Fantasia just because. Mm. And going back as an adult and watching Fantasia and seeing the combination of this timeless classical music that I really should have liked a whole lot more as a kid and the animation, which while I thought it was pretty when I was younger, I didn't have the technical the technical appreciation that I do now, and I can't look at that and go, oh my god, that's translucent paint, how did they do that? You know, just to fire up Fantasia again to see it for a second or third time, it's again, you're appreciating it on a whole lot of different levels.
Absolutely.
Sushi.
Like your taste, it grows over time and you're able to recognize things and stuff. That's definitely like a factor of just like, you know, you visit something and it might be like, oh, I kind of don't like this because, you know, I watched it at this time and in my life when I was a lot younger and I didn't really understand it fully, or like, you know, I didn't have this sort of aspect and just like outlook on, you know, for like movies and that kind of stuff. Me personally, you know, growing up in a small town, we only had one theater, two screens. So, hey, there's a weekend there. You got $16 on Saturday, you know, pay $8, go see a matinee or something. And then Sunday, pay $8, see the other movie that's playing that weekend. And there you go. So,
and
but now I'm like, I have trouble even like, if someone's like, hey, let's go to the movies. It's just like, what do you want to see though? There's like, what is there, you know? And there's like 8 movies playing at a time. And it's like, you sort of develop that taste that you're like, I want this. I want to experience this. I want to see this. And you have that respect. And
I think what's really interesting is you say, but there's 8 movies playing. There's so many movies. 8 movies carries, that's about half of one of the 3 theaters we have in town. Actually, I'm sorry, we have 5 theaters in town if you count the 2 little independents and the one that serves dinner while you're watching a movie. But
oh, yeah.
You know, now I know you're from the Great White North of Canada.
Yes, I am.
I hope you guys survived this winter, because, man,
this winter was, you know, last winter, it was not that bad. You know, that was it barely snowed. It snowed late last year, but we got it real bad this year, real bad. This is like the worst winter in like a long time.
Yes, and I'm glad to hear that you guys survived. Have you had a chance to travel much?
Well, when I was younger, I did travel. You know, I all along the East Coast and everything. Because I'm in Ontario and everything, so my parents, a couple times we traveled the East Coast of Canada, and you know, that was really fun and interesting. I've only ever been out of the country once, and that was to visit in 2007 when I visited Albuquerque, New Mexico. I visited my cousins there, and that was around Christmas time, so it was desert and it was cold, but I could wear a t-shirt. Other than that, you know, I don't do much traveling outside of Ontario, you know.
Well, if you ever get a chance to come down to Wisconsin, you can come see Josh and I.
Absolutely. Well, you know, with Geek Juice growing and that kind of stuff, I absolutely, you know, I have a vehicle now. I am a responsible adult as much as I need to be, you know.
And I think that changes things too. If you have a cultural perspective, for instance, before I went to Japan, I wouldn't have touched sushi or seaweed or even really anime or much Japanese. It kind of freaked me out. Mm-hmm. It was very colorful and in your face, and the particular types of anime that my friends, again, this would have been in elementary and middle school, were introducing me to. It was boobies all up in your face and kind of crazy, scary things. And it freaked me out a little bit. But going to Japan and getting that cultural influence and that cultural knowledge that comes along with it.
Yeah, firsthand.
But I think that'll change your tastes as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. For myself, like sushi, I remember trying that like as like mid high school, you know. And I'm going back to high school because I'm young. I'm 21.
you don't have much further to go back then.
Yeah, I went to grade school. I went to high school, and then I moved out of that town. And I've spent 2 years here in the city. So I'm still, you know, experiencing life, and I don't have much outside of high school. And then coming here and that kind of stuff. With my ex-girlfriend and everything, it would be, where do you want to go for dinner? Let's go to the sushi place. Yeah. You know, it was always, that was our top pick. And like, we loved going to sushi, but then like looking back and everything, I remember the first time I tried sushi, I'm like, yeah, this isn't for me. So that's another change of, we're going back to food again. Expanding your interests, it definitely gives you a new opinion and outlook on things. That definitely does help, because of course that's happened to me and probably to you, where, well, like you just said, like you look at something, you're like, that's not for me. You know, that's, you know, for me, looking at like these Italian horror movies and that kind of stuff, like, you know, back in the day, I wouldn't even imagine like some of them, like these Fulci films and stuff, and like like that kind of stuff. I would have been like, oh, no, that's not for me. Hostel was like too much for me when that came out. But then like I got more and more into it, and now it's just like, Hostel.
It's run of the mill. Man,
yeah,
boring. So I guess the other thing is, what other experiences can you think of? And I realize you're only 21, so you're like, I haven't had many, give me a chance. But that's what you're here for. What major experiences have made those changes to expand your tastes? Like for me, one that catches me was my first girlfriend, and you want to go back to high school, I'll go back to high school. My first girlfriend, I just ended
like the beginning of the year. I just got out of a 5-year relationship, so it expands back. So it wasn't like I wouldn't say it was a breakup. It was like a split, and it was understanding. And her and I are on great terms, and we're really good friends. So no drama here, people.
That's good. My first girlfriend.
That's how you handle a relationship. That's surely.
Yes. I'm a man now. wrong. No, it doesn't change. You got lucky, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. But, no, I know. I've had rough relationships high school, but those are like,
high school things. But I remember.
Yeah, it's high school.
I remember that first breakup in high school. And for me, it wasn't just a breakup for me. It was like a breakup for the entire class. And they're Scott and blah are no longer together and blah. And it was just absolutely crazy. Versus the last time I ended a major relationship was a girl that I was with for about 7 years. And I ended it when I met Dawn. And that, while being ugly, didn't spread through my friends so much. And it was just kind of like, oh, okay. So that's over. And I guess we'll have to get used to a new part of your life now.
No, absolutely. And that's exactly what I basically went through and everything, because a lot of my friends were her friends and her friends were my friends. But, you know, they're kind of like, you okay? Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. You know, it's just like, and I've had friends who've gone like through serious relationships and then ended them and stuff. Like I am friends with a lot of older people. So,
going for me. I'm so cool. I'm so cool.
I hang out with all the adults and stuff, guys. It's really cool. Like,
I was gonna say, when you get to be my age, we're going through the. It's very interesting. Let's see here. You're 21, so you're about to hit. Probably in another 5 years, you'll hit the marriage phase where all of your friends get married.
Actually, you know what really hit me like real bad, like within this last year and that kind of stuff, like probably like mid to late 2013 and that kind of stuff. I got to that age where I'm just like, high school, that's over with, whatever. I'm a different person now. And I'm sure other people are too. Hey, why don't I add them on Facebook and see what they've been up to? And pregnancy, marriage, still in a relationship. Pregnancy, marriage, still in a relationship. Yeah. College. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. Like seeing these people having kids now that are my age or around my age that I knew so long. And then also, and I was saying this to my brother and stuff, like, my brother's 3 years younger than me and, you know, going to elementary school and then like high school and everything, mm-hmm. like seeing these people that I haven't seen since like I was in elementary school. I'm like, wait, that's them? No. Like, people really change, and it's like, they really grew up, and that's really different. That just, it kind of blew my mind.
I'm in the same deal, but the phases mm-hmm. that I was talking about, there's the phase where all your friends get married.
Yeah.
There's the phase where all your friends get pregnant, and then when you reach my age... It's you look around and you're like, okay, all my friends are getting divorced. And I've even had a couple of friends be like, well, you and Dawn have been together for a while. Are you guys are you breaking up? I'm like, no, not yet.
Welcome to 2014.
Yeah. And so it's strange seeing those kinds of changes take place too. And it's hard for me to explain, but again, it seems like when you're young, even relationships have that one note. For instance, me and one of my girlfriends, Melanie, we were together for a while in high school and we were a decent couple, but yeah. we had this one note that we played and I won't get into what it was, but we had this one note that we played, and we had our niche that we feel that we filled in high school, mm-hmm. and we filled that niche quite well. But nowadays, looking at even relationships, looking at my marriage with Dawn, it's a complicated layer upon layer upon layer thing of good times and bad times, and making sure we laugh, and making sure when one of us feels like crying or doing something stupid that we're there. Even my friendship with Josh is almost like a marriage in that respect, as to where there are layers that I absolutely adore about Josh, and there are layers that I can't stand about him. And so I think even when it comes to
so many listeners, just like they just
There's gonna be fan fiction written about this, and they're gonna isolate that audio. I know it.
Fanfic, yeah.
But the simple fact is, even relationships change, and you get those complicated layers going.
Absolutely.
Versus the one note, like one girl I was with a while ago, it was just sex, and we were really, really, really good at it, and with each other, we were incredible. I don't know about how other people felt about it, but we were enjoying it. But that was the one note relationship. And while you could build when you're younger, while you could build on that one note, whether it's sex or puppy love or true love, mm-hmm. or that one note relationship, if it those don't work. And I think it took growing up and an expansion of tastes and mm-hmm. an expansion of my life to discover that. And I think I was around your age when I first discovered that and went, wait a minute. Okay, college was great because I was really good at sex and I had these girls and we were really good at sex and that was fun. But when it's done and we're sitting there cuddling, I'd really kind of like to talk about Quentin Tarantino movies, I guess, but you know, something else.
But the thing is, and not to make it seem like all tragic and everything, but no, that's exactly what I have had and have right now with my ex-girlfriend and that kind of stuff. Is we, over the years and that kind of stuff, when we first started dating, you know, mid high school and that kind of stuff, yeah. You know, it was that one note and that kind of stuff. But then as we went along, we're like, hey, we share interest, you know, and like there was the times when we wanted to hang out, the times where, you know, it was more about like being intimate or a relationship or more loving or more like I need my space kind of thing, or like, you know, I'm here for you, or, you know, I need to be responsible and do this. Okay, so deal with that and everything. You know, there was that level of understanding. And then just looking at it even after the fact is her and I are still able to say, hey, you want to go get some food or something, you know, hang out or something, you know, and it's not, you know, weird or awkward or, you know, hey, we used to, you know, fool around that kind of stuff all the time. And now it's all weird because now we don't, because we're not dating. No, it's not like that. It's because guess what? In that relationship, we hung out, we watched movies, we talked about movies, we listened to music, we, you know, we shared interest and had those high and low times and everything. And, you know, it's able to continue without the relationship on a loving level. So, you know, I feel lucky that I have been able to experience that at this age, but with her and I and that kind of stuff being together since like mid high school and that kind of stuff, after the fact, we're kind of like, we really got to understand ourselves, because that's a big thing. Is we grew up from, you know, being mid young teens and that kind of stuff to young adults, and, you know, discovering yourself and having that person always there, and then they're not there, and you're like, okay, what am I? Kind of thing. And what do I like? What do I want to do? You know, and not having that person there, that's definitely like a thing on its own.
Yeah, you got to branch out and discover those layers. And
that's really what I'm doing right now. Is
that's good. That was, I actually had a listener. I don't know why they do this, but I've had listeners come to me for some relationship advice and stuff. And I had one who went through really a terrible, horrible breakup, and he was feeling really, really empty because he had broken up with his partner. And I said, and he had found someone, he goes, they're very similar, and I want to leap right back into it and do that. And I'm like, hang on, hold it. No, I know you feel empty, but, and this is one thing that you learn as you grow up as an adult, is you have to learn to love yourself, and you have kind of that layer of relationship. And once you've got yourself loved, then you can kind of invite somebody else in and go, here I am, and you think I'm really cool, and there you are, and I think you're really cool. Hey, let's hang out and ride bikes. And you can then build from there and discover so much more. And so, yeah, let's not lie. You broke up with your ex-girlfriend. You've brought her up a few times. I'm sure there are some pains there. I'm sure that.
Absolutely. You know, there was some hard times and everything, and some struggle, and you know, but we fixed things. Everything's fine now. And the thing is, with that, not having that person there to so depend on being around and be like, hey, you make me happy, why don't you come over? Hey, you know, let's hang out and this and that kind of stuff. But, you know, discovering yourself and finding how you can make yourself happy and not having that person to depend on to make you happy. That's definitely one thing that I've been working on and discovering, you know.
That's good.
And that's important. That is really important. Like, any listeners out there and that kind of stuff, don't ever depend on someone else to make you happy. Always don't rely on someone to always be there to make you happy, because they're going to go and make themselves happy. And when they go and do that, that might not include you.
And that's something else that I discovered as I got older is, you know, I remember being younger and going through that puppy love phase of just yearning to be with the one and finding the one. And
absolutely,
you know, and when you found the one, at least for that week, you know, you must be together and blah, blah, blah. And yet here I am as an adult. I'm in a stable, happy marriage. And I've learned to really, really love my alone time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And really value my time being alone. So, yeah, it's bizarre how tastes often reverse as we get older. So, listen.
We've covered from food to relationships.
That's right.
You know, that we got really kind of personal, but I'm, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the thing, is like a lot of people get uncomfortable when they talk about personal stuff and everything, especially on something like this. But I'm fine with kind of going kind of personal because it can help someone.
I very, very much appreciate you joining with me today to.
Absolutely. I had lots of fun. I really hope I can come back and, you know, or, you know, work with you in the future, because, you know, come on, that voice, like.
That's right.
Got to use it somewhere.
Yeah, it's I got nothing else going for me other than, you know, my voice.
You won't find that on adamandeve.com when you use the promo code static and get 50% off the first item, free shipping in the States, and a mystery gift and 3 free DVDs.
Very, very good. Also,
yes, listened to too much of these shows.
Also, if you want, I'm going to take this last bit of time to plug our Patreon. Listen, guys, as of recording this episode, we just broke the $150 a month mark for pledges from Patreon. And
awesome.
I got to say thank you to everybody who has pledged. And starting in May, once April goes through and all of that, we are going to start handing out the prizes and doing the voicemail recording, and we're going to do a Google Hangout. We've got a couple of absolutely wonderful people who want to sponsor an episode and give us a topic to talk about. And we've been in touch with them, and it's an incredible program. Please do us a favor. Check us out at patreon.com/lostinthestatic. And even just giving $1 a month, that's $1 we don't have to find. And it will help us avoid unforeseen circumstances like this with Josh. also 1201beyond.com, and you can check out our t-shirts. Where will they find you, Dustin?
Well, let me just reinforce your plug and like shove that right in there. Really, guys, support Scott and Josh. They work really hard. Josh does like five shows, like he edits five shows and does them like each week, and that's crazy. And Scott, I know you work hard on like this show and everything, and doing other things and everything. And these guys, they do great work.
Dustin,
Support it, absolutely.
I got five seconds, buddy. Where can we find you?
Find me at geekjuicemedia.com. Review Drome. Check out my video game reviews there.
Lost in the Static is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows. Okay, you hear that tag at the very end and everything? And this part right now that I'm still recording, those that download the episodes will hear this. Those that listen on jackalope.com won't. So it's our super secret, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.